So this is the Filthy Disco, and I'm sat here with Lucy Rose. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
So how are you? How's it all going at the moment with all the Lucy Rose stuff?
It's very scary at the moment. I'm pretty terrified about where things are going, but I'm excited at the same time. I mean, it's all good. It's getting busy, so that's nice.
Like, you've got to this point, but it's taken quite a while, hasn't it? You've been sort of going for about 4 or 5 years, is it?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 4 years and just been, like, very adamant about the way I wanted to do it and the sound I wanted. And there's, a lot of hitting heads and people's opinions, especially when you're starting out on what direction you should go musically. And I sort of had a very clear vision of what I wanted. And at that point, I don't think anyone thought that it would, that sort of music I wanted to make would be played on the radio. Or I had a lot of people telling me that it wouldn't be successful and it wouldn't ever happen. And so it's taken me a lot longer because I've just decided to do it anyway.
Did you kind of go through it down quite a few different paths with people when someone said to you, I don't think this is going to work? Did you let it affect you, or did you sort of go, no, I'm strident, I'm going to go for what I think?
I tried a few things. I mean, a few people put us with different producers to start with. And it was okay experimenting. The only thing that was good about it is I just crossed off the list everything I didn't want it to sound like, but I still hadn't found out how I did want it to sound. I just had this vision in my head, and I thought it was just going to be impossible to ever make it happen. And then I just sort of snapped one day, I think, in a meeting with somebody who was telling me how it should sound, and I pretty much just blew up. And then my manager refused for me to go to any more meetings, I think, after that for a while.
So you're about to release your first single. Does it feel really kind of, you've been working on it for a while and nurturing it, and then suddenly you're pushing it out there? Does it feel really, really weird, or is it quite liberating?
It's been so nice to actually be able to give people who are coming to my gigs something musically, because all these years there's been odd people saying, I can't find it, I want to put your music on my iPod. And it's been frustrating that I haven't been able to, like, give that to anybody. So now I've actually been releasing something and it coming out, and hopefully people will like it. And it's been amazing, the support it's got, because I have done it this way and I've self-released. It was sort of unsure about, there was no particular pressure on how it performed or anything, but actually having the support from all these different people that have come out of the woodwork has been unbelievable for my confidence that this was the right decision.
And how have you actually got to this point? What's kind of been the journey, if you know what I mean?
The journey?
Just like, how did you sort of start in the beginning? Were you always pretty musical at school and all that?
Yeah, I was always did music at school. It took me ages. My academic side at school was really bad until I got a lot older. I think that sort of developed a lot slower, and music was the one thing that my parents were like, well, you're good at music, so keep doing that. And it was mainly like the clarinet and the piano and stuff like that. It wasn't a guitar. And then I did get a guitar and I started playing, and I moved to London and I played an insane amount of open mics all the time. Nearly one, maybe like six every week on my own. And it was amazing, and it like was one of the best times, but also the worst times musically. And then I think it just, from then onwards, I met really nice people and I started promoting gigs with certain people who'd booked me. And that's how I met a lot of friends who now have become the people who play in my band with me. Are just people who are just really close friends of mine who now all want to support and help and be part of this sort of thing we're doing.
And when you were doing your open mics and stuff, did you kind of feel like, oh God, I don't know if... did you ever sort of wane and feel like, oh, maybe I should just go and be a vet or kind of go and be a teacher or something? Or did you always be like, no, I'm going to be a singer and that's it?
Well, it's really weird because when I saw open mics, I saw it as a huge step up from not doing any.
Yeah.
So I felt a bit like Billy Big Balls turning up to these open mics and singing. I mean, I didn't think it was like a low point. I thought it was a really... yeah. High point, and I was really excited that I was up playing music and I was enjoying it. It's only looking back now, I think, how the hell did I do that? Or like so many times. But it took me a long time to actually meet normal people in London. I mean, there was one guy who was really nice, and every Tuesday I did an open mic, and he was in his 60s or something, and he gave me a different book to read every week.
Oh.
And then I'd come back and we'd have a little discussion about the book every week. And like the first year here, I mean, I was kind of self-contained and did my own thing, and didn't really make as many friends as I've got now. It was sort of a real determination thing and growing and writing music and stuff.
Your songs are pretty sort of emotional. Is it kind of quite difficult to sing them live, or do you feel like it's quite a sort of like a release to sing them live in front of loads of people?
I think it's important that you mean what you're singing, because I find if I'm watching an artist and I can see that he or she isn't connecting with the words, I find it really difficult to connect to them myself when I'm watching somebody or listening. And the best artists, like, I love are the ones that have given away so much. And, like, I remember watching a documentary on Joni Mitchell, and it was when she wrote Blue, and the record label were like, you can't put this out, it's too much of yourself. Like, this is, you're giving everything away. And she was like, that's what you have to do. You've got to, this is what you're meant to do. You have to be honest. And so that's really made me think, yeah, I want to. It doesn't mean, I mean, it's always a bit difficult playing them sometimes, but it's rewarding at the end of the day. I fall asleep in front of the TV, so I forget what I'm thinking. But oh, don't you wanna know? Is it any easier? Oh, don't you wanna know? Going wrong.
Songwriting something that comes really naturally? Like, are you always thinking about it? Do you have a little notepad, little scruffy notepad in your back pocket all the time? Or is it more like premeditated, you sit down quietly and you write songs?
It's definitely, I don't have a notepad. I never write down lyrics, really, until I've got the melody and the guitar. It sort of comes out naturally. I would normally, yeah, I would never write anything down until I've decided, started singing it a few times. I don't really think about it that much. I mean, it's only when I'm really bored, and I have, like, at the moment I haven't written anything for a few weeks because I've just been so busy. It's difficult to have a time where I can just sit and watch TV and play around on the guitar and find new chords that I haven't used, and come up with different things, but it's not like a conscious thing that I'm always thinking about. And I normally don't really know what I'm thinking about at all. I'm never sure in my head what I'm thinking about until I write a song, and then halfway through I'll be like, okay, I kind of realise what I'm talking about now.
Right, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like a process in a way to sort of realise how you're feeling in a way.
It's like a definite subconscious, like, is it subconscious?
I think so.
I'm not even sure. I'm terrible with words, honestly.
No, it sounds about right to me. And of course you sing with Bombay Bicycle Club quite a lot. How did that actually even come about to start with them?
Well, Old Queen Head in Angel is a local of mine, and I went down to watch them play, and I was playing the week after, I think, and I just got talking to them, and Jack did a little remix of one of my songs and then asked me if I wanted to come and sing a couple of shows with them, and it just like naturally progressed over like 2 and a bit years, which I met them and just more was happening, and he sort of said, come around to my house, I've got a new song, I want to try some of your vocals on it. We did it in about 30 minutes, and then a couple of months later it was on the album Floors, and that was the song, and I'd had no idea. We'd just done this little song in his bedroom in about 30 minutes, recorded it, and he'd just done it himself, and then suddenly it was on this album. And then it just, you know, naturally moved on from there.
And your own stuff, it's been sort of your project completely, hasn't it? Do you reckon, like, you want to be in control, and it sounds like it's been really organic. Do you think that you'll sort of stay like that, or do you think you'll let someone else come and sort of be like, right, now that you know you're getting good feedback and loads of people are talking about you, this is what we want to do. Like, what do you think about that?
Definitely not. I mean, I've done all the hard work now,
yeah,
I feel, and people hopefully are starting to like it, and now, you know, I want to stick to my guns and just keep doing it the way we've been doing it. I mean, we're starting to record the second single in a few weeks' time, and we're using exactly the same template of what we did for Middle of the Bed. And, you know, me and Bjorn will record the drums down in his studio. We want it to sound really lo-fi and organic, and we don't want it to have a big, overproduced, glossy feel to it. So we're going to record the drums, you know, to the best of our knowledge, down in the studio, and as much parts as we can, and then we'll go in with the same producer, Charlie Hugel, and just do the final tweaks and my vocals and stuff, and he'll mix it, and it's just a really, I mean, easy way to do it, and it just gives us control over the way I want it to sound and everything.
Yeah. And I guess that you're there at the mix then, when he's like twiddling the knobs, you're like, I want this and I want that and I want that.
It's been really difficult with the amount of producers that I've said, I want it to sound a little bit more like this, and and they just don't, it hasn't just been a complete miscommunication, and they don't seem to understand, and it doesn't sound, and I keep trying to express the way I want it to sound in the words that I can use to express it, and it's just not clicked. And with Charlie, it just got to a point where the guy we're using, and I just said one thing and he just tweaked it and he just made it happen. And suddenly it was like there was actually a guy there who was on the desk who could actually make the sound I wanted and just tweak it and EQ it and do what he, you know, all of that stuff to it, and made it how I wanted it. And it was the best feeling ever when that finally came together.
It must be quite hard to, when you've got a creative vision in your head, to have to try and convey that to a producer must be really difficult, because 9 times out of 10 they're probably not going to get it.
It's almost impossible. A lot of the times, the amount of people I've spoken to who are musicians who just, like, even Jack from Bombay, he wants to do all of it himself, really, because he can tweak and play around with things on his own computer. But to actually, like, express how he wants it without doing it himself is almost impossible. I think it's a frustrating thing for a lot of people.
Yeah. So you're doing pretty well at the moment. What's on the horizon now? Are you recording, or what are you up to?
I'm going on tour at the end of July. We have a 2-week tour, which is good. It's very busy. In the middle of that, I have doing a show with Bombay at the Underage Festival, and then getting a 12-hour sleeper train on my own back up to Inverness to join the rest of the band. So it's very busy. Start recording the next single. Got Best of All, you know, Reading and Leeds again with Bombay, and just lots of things. It's very busy, and Autumn's, yeah, it's very exciting, yeah.
And I must say, we've got your amazing Lucy Rose blend of tea. How did that sort of, like, you sell tea and jam at your gigs? Is that kind of, were you like, oh, one day I think I want to do tea selling? How did that sort of come about?
I genuinely love tea, yeah, more than anything. I've got a little...
I saw that little teacup on your wrist, tattooed.
Yeah, a tattoo of a teacup, which I got a long time ago. And I always used to, like, shove in an Earl Grey and an ordinary tea bag when anyone came over in a pot. And my manager was like, right, we need to sell something at your gigs because people are getting frustrated, you know. They can't buy anything. They can't have any sort of, like, souvenir from the evening.
We want a lock of your hair.
Yeah, exactly. And we just decided to make some tea. And then I met a lady, Jenny, who worked with a lot of vulnerable women in London, in, like, connection with farmers who's... fruit and vegetables are going to be going off, and instead of them just going to waste, they make jam out of it and sell it at Borough Market and helping these ladies. So I decided I'd do a ginger and rhubarb jam with them to help them out and do a sort of merchandise thing. So it's really nice.
Wicked. Well, it's very nice. Quite bitter, but nice.
That's the tea, yeah?
Yeah, the tea's bitter, but nice.
Thank you.
And the jam is very good.
Good.
Well, good luck with everything. And, yeah, that's it. When's the single out?
8th of August.
Awesome. Thanks for chatting.
No worries, thank you.